with me to Galatians chapter 6. I want to talk to you about don't relax your faith. Don't relax your faith. And we're in a time period where people are giving up easily. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard I'm getting tired, or I can't take any more. Well, that's what the devil wants to hear. Got you where he wants you then. He's wearing on you. But in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint." Now I want to put your attention on, let us not be weary in well-doing. Then turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." And I want to draw your attention to this portion. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day." You know, Jude verse 20 tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is a real key to, if I can say it this way, to stay energized, is by praying in the Spirit. And I don't think we can overemphasize the need of praying in the Holy Spirit. You start energizing yourself. When he says, don't relax your faith, it's said not to be weak. You know, you can grip something and somebody can't take it from you. But if they'll outlast you, and you start getting weak, what happens? They'll take what's yours. And that's exactly the way Satan operates. And that's why he's saying, don't relax your faith. See, our faith is in God. Our faith, you know, Hebrews the 6th chapter says, talking about a basic fundamental, a foundational teaching, faith toward God. And so our faith is always toward God, in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of God, the things that relate to the kingdom of God. And so our faith is always in the spiritual things that you don't see. And so when we're standing our ground and we're not seeing results, we still stand our ground. As I was pondering on this afternoon, I was thinking about Abraham. At 75 years of age, God gives to him this fantastic promise of all the nations are going to be blessed through his seed. And at that particular time, he didn't have a child. And then at 86, flesh produced a child, but God didn't recognize it. God said, get rid of it. So 25 years from the time God spoke to him, from 75 years of age until 100 years of age, where Isaac was born. But Abraham didn't relax his faith. Changed his name in the process from Abram to Abraham. In Romans the 4th chapter gives us a little insight when it tells us that he was not weak, that Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in what he believed. Now, to stay strong in what you believe, you're going to have to constantly remind yourself what you believe. I have a habit, and I don't apologize for it. There's certain scriptures that I quote over myself every day, just to remind myself what God says. You with me? One of them is the 91st Psalm. I quote the 91st Psalm over me every day. I quote the 23rd Psalm over me every day. And I'll speak from Psalm 103 of what God has done for me. You understand? You have to constantly tell yourself these things, or you'll find yourself relaxing. The old Pentecostals called it backslide. Because what you're actually doing is you're backing up. You're backing off of what you believe. You know, it's so interesting, and I don't even know that that's a good word. It's actually sad and pathetic how many evangelicals have backed off from the name of Jesus Christ and from the fact that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. Relaxed. Backing away. Don't like the opposition. Don't like the resistance that they're getting. And it's amazing how many church-going people will tell you to coexist. Got behind a car today, actually had that little sticker on it, and I thought to myself, you don't even know what you're saying. You don't even know the statement that you're making. So you want communism to coexist with Christianity. Wake up, buddy. They're against the Christian. So how are you going to coexist with your murderer? Move in with him. Let the guy that you know wants to destroy you live with you. No, you don't relax your faith in what you believe. You take your stand in what you believe. There is one way, Jesus Christ. There's not another way. There will never be another way. God Himself set this up. Now, I can believe that, or I can choose not to believe it. We don't want to start out strong and then get weak, like Paul actually writing to the Galatians. You did run well. Who's hindered you? In other words, you started out strong. You started out in faith, but you're relaxing your faith and trying to substitute works. That's not going to get it. It won't work. Works won't work. You understand? And so we're going to have to come to grips with what is it we truly believe. And then support that with Scripture in context. And then don't move from it. If you have the scriptural foundation that will support you, there's no need for you to move. It's doctrinally sound. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of mankind, is doctrinally sound. The Holy Spirit living in you, guiding you, and enabling us by teaching us, is doctrinally sound. Don't back off of it. I don't care what circle you're in. Don't be ashamed of what you believe or in whom you believe. This is not the time to relax. When the resistance is strong against you, you have to raise the bar to where you're stronger than the resistance. And here again, I believe that praying in the Holy Spirit is one of the ways that helps you build up that strength to overcome. You see, we as believers are overcomers if we don't give up. You have to choose to overcome. You know, the first generation of the Israelites could have been overcomers, but they relaxed when they saw circumstances that weakened their heart. And my concern today is too many people are looking at circumstances and getting weak-hearted. You know, one of my neighbors came up yesterday morning. I was outside working, and he was talking to me, and he said something. I said, "Well, you know, it's one thing for sure. Bible prophecy is coming to pass, and you can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. It'll happen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to act like it? Do you believe it enough to conduct your life in that direction, to where God said this is going to happen?" And people are backing off of doctrinally sound beliefs that was established by our forefathers. You take the what we would call the founders of Pentecostalism and the solid thing in church, solid doctrinal beliefs, and people are backing off of the old songs. How firm a foundation. You don't need another one. When God laid that one, that'll support anything that God puts out there. And the kingdom of God is supported on that foundation. You understand? And so we have to stay true to these, and I emphasize, scripturally sound doctrines that have been handed down to us from generations, and don't substitute biblical doctrines with tradition. And that's what's happened so often, is people will take the tradition as a substitute over a good solid doctrine. And I'm not talking about traditions of men. That's what happened to the Jews in Jesus' day. They substituted traditions of men for the Word of God. And so what happens? You relax your faith in the Word of God then. You're not believing in the Word of God. You're believing in what men say. You're believing in the doctrines of men. And this is a time that we certainly need to make our call and election sure. Call being God's invitation to us. Come to me. Election being selection. If God selected you, make God proud. And you understand what I mean by that, okay? That he, let me just give you this. It regretted him that he made Saul king. I don't want God to have any regret over me. So I must not relax in what I believe and the things that the Lord has revealed to me. I have to stay strong in it. It doesn't matter if others believe it or not. That's irrelevant. Did God say it? That's all you need. If God said it, then hold on to it and don't let go. And when somebody tries to take that belief away from you, don't let it go. But you be certain that that belief is accurate with the Scriptures. There's a lot of doctrines and beliefs out there that are not scripturally sound. Turn those loose. But put a firm grip on the Word of God. You know, he tells us that the just live by faith, which is a lifestyle. Faith's a lifestyle. And so every day of our life, we're living with our faith in God, our faith in the kingdom of God, our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in the Holy Spirit, and all these things that the kingdom of God encompasses. That's where our faith should be. But people say, well, you know, those things passed away. Or, you know, Jesus did that, the apostles do that, but these things can't happen today. It's because you don't believe it. You believe, you see. Now, we don't advertise things, but right here we're seeing a lot of things occur, especially in the Bible college. We've seen a lot of healings take place. But our objective is not to brag about it. Our objective is to get the job done and give God the glory. So I'm not talking about something we're not seeing. I believe just as much in healing today as I ever have. You know, in 2010, I went through a lot of things, a ton of surgeries, you know, 6 surgeries and all in that year. And someone came to the hospital and asked me, how's that going to affect your teaching on healing? And I said, it's not going to affect my teaching on healing at all, because the Bible's not based on my experience. It's based on the integrity of the Word of God. So if anybody asks you, just tell them Pete didn't have faith. We're not going to sugarcoat the thing. God's Word doesn't fail. And we don't want to fail in letting it go. You understand? There's a lot of things I can't explain. There's a lot of things I can't explain about that year. But I can tell you this, God is faithful. God is true. That God raised me yet. Men can cut on you. They can treat you. They just can't heal you. But Jesus Christ can. You with me? Don't let it go. Don't let a bad experience cause you to loosen your grip on the Word of God. Just remember that the Word of God is based on God's integrity, not your experience. You follow me? And I get tired of hearing about people's experiences so the Word of God can't be true. If you lay hands on 100 people and 90 of them drop dead, the Word of God's still true. I can't explain that other than God doesn't lie. I was listening to something back a few years ago to ask a man, you know, you pray for them and the sick and he dies while you're praying for him. What do? He said, I say next. Now that's what you've got to do. You've got to stay that determined that God's Word is true. Don't turn it loose. Don't turn it loose. The devil is not in control. He may be wreaking havoc in the nation, but he's not in control of the nation. God has the final say. You understand? Don't turn it loose. Hold on. I know who I am. And what I commit to him, he's capable of guarding and protecting what I commit to him. But have I committed it? Or am I playing these little religious games? I had someone to call me crying and want me to talk to somebody. And they told me, I said, I've committed him to the Lord. I said, no, you haven't. Oh, yes. I said, no, if you had committed him to the Lord, you wouldn't be calling me. See, a lot of times we deceive ourselves. If you commit him to the Lord, then you get up and you're at peace. God's going to take care of that thing. God's going to take care of it. You with me? Don't relax your faith. Certainly not your faith in God, or your faith in Jesus Christ, or your faith in the Holy Spirit. Don't relax it. then don't relax your faith in the things that you know you've petitioned God and it's been according to the Word. He's good for His Word. But don't put a timetable on God. I want you to pray for me, and if God hasn't answered that prayer by 10 o'clock tonight, I'm going to do this. Well, go on and do it, because you've got a plan B. You don't put God in a box. You trust Him to do things His way and in His time. And I've learned that God's timing is not the timing of men. Some of it I learned the hard way. You understand? But this I do know, that God doesn't lie. Do I believe in Him? Will I continue to hold on to that belief and not let it go? Not relaxing my faith. I've had people ask me, are you one of those? Are you Pentecostal? Yeah. Of course I am. Aren't you? You don't relax that because, you know, it gets a bad rap here and there because, you know, there's been some crazy stuff done in the name of God. It wasn't God. But do you know you can't have a counterfeit unless there's a truth? So get your eyes off the counterfeit and keep your eyes on the true and hold on to truth. Don't relax your faith. This is a time for the body of Christ to rise up unashamedly, not afraid to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be people full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be witnesses. And that's you living as a witness to God. I'm not talking about getting on a bandwagon and preaching. I'm talking about living your life as a witness to God. People can watch you and see that you are different. You don't try to cheat them and swindle them and lie to them and take advantage of them. Even if they've taken advantage of you, you treat them like you want to be treated, not like you've been treated. I was thinking this afternoon, they said, what's those marks in your hand? Those are marks a friend put there. Jesus still calling them friend. Yeah, you understand? So we're in a time to where faith is not something talked about. It's lived out every day of our life. Every day of our life. How many people truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? You'd be surprised how relaxed that's getting in the event, in the evangelical arena. And what we, you know, have coined the phrase of rapture. And we want to spiritualize it rather than to believe it's the truth. We want to make things spiritual, then we don't have to deal with it. God's telling us to deal with it. There's heaven. There's hell. Jesus came one time. He's coming again. As a matter of fact, Acts 1:9 says He's coming. You've been to Galilee. Why do you stand gazing into the sky? This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven, He's coming back in the same manner, which agrees with the prophets. He's coming. Don't relax your faith. When? I don't know, and you don't know. And nobody else knows, so quit reading the books on when Jesus is coming. Jesus said nobody knows. The Father's reserved that to Himself. But this I do know. He's coming. And ultimately, there's going to be a time when Jesus sets His foot on earth and Mount Olivet's going to split. But it'll be in His time. Will it come to pass? It'll come to pass. Well, I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of things you didn't see. You didn't see the flood, but it happened. You understand? Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." And I'm telling you, this is the time that we've got to get the spiritual perception and hold on to what we're seeing in the Spirit and don't turn it loose. That's what faith is. It's a spiritual thing. Not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you see things manifest in the natural, but it's conceived in the Spirit. How many of you know, in order for a woman to give birth to a baby, there has to be a conception that you never see? You say, "Oh, I'm pregnant." How do you know? Well, the doctor said I am. And for a while, you're not seeing anything. But keep watching, and there'll be evidence. And you keep watching, and in due season, that seed will have produced fruit. It's the same way with God. His word is seed. It will produce fruit. Don't turn it loose. Hold on to it. Don't faint. Don't get weak. Know in whom you believe. Stay there. Keep yourself built up. Make it a habit of praying in the Spirit. You know, I was just in a discussion here, I don't know if it was this past week, a week before last, I can't remember. You know, some people think that, oh, that's only for a select few, that everybody can't pray in the Spirit. You can if you yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit. So if you're not praying in the Spirit, it's because you're not yielding to the Spirit. But if you yield to the Spirit, you find yourself praying in the Spirit. I've had people ask, "Can you pray? Just pray in the Spirit?" I pray anytime I want to in the Spirit. And I do it constantly. Whether I'm in my car, or whether I'm in Walmart, whether I'm here, it doesn't matter. It becomes a lifestyle. You deliberately pray in the Spirit. What are you praying? I don't know. The will of God. Because the Holy Spirit's God. And so you just let Him give you the utterance and you just say it out into the air. And it accomplishes things. But you have to believe that. A lot of people say, "Well, that don't make sense, so I'm going to let it go." And it won't go any farther with the Spirit. Hold on to it. Don't relax your faith. Amen. You got the message? Huh? No use in me. Belaboring. That was my objective, is to let you know what the Lord's saying. Don't relax your faith. I thank You that You bless us indeed, You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered. And those who hate You, flee before You. Amen. Thank them for watching over this team.